Our scripture reading today is from Job 38. Then the Lord answered Job from a whirlwind. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you know. Who set its measurements? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring tape on it? Or what were its footings sunk? Who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang in unison and all the divine beings shouted. In your lifetime have you commanded the morning, informed the dawn of its place, so it would take hold of the earth and shake the wicked out of it? Declare if you know all this. Here ends the reading. Let us pray. Still speaking God, be with us this morning as we celebrate your love and compassion and seek to find truth and light in your holy word. Amen. Some 365 years after the death of Christ, the Bishop of Poitiers, France, became the first person to predict the end of the world on a certain day. Since his day, there have been an amazing number of people who have made similar predictions. In fact, Chris McCann and his internet church, the E-Bible Fellowship, are predicting the destruction of the universe, write this down, on October 7th of this year. We're not going to have to pay taxes. Maybe in September you might want to take a vacation and put it on your charge card. I don't know if we should give this date much credence, though, because McCain also said that the world would end on October 21st, 2011, and then in March 2012. When I was a child, such predictions were a regular occurrence, and frankly, they scared me. So I asked my mother what she thought about the possible end of the earth. She thought a moment, and then she said, "I think the end of the world will be another ice age, or maybe a great fire or a flood. Everything will be gone." And then, in the silence, a little green shoot will emerge from the earth. And then another, and another, and everything will slowly begin again, fresh, new, and wonderful. And with those words, her theology became mine. I saw a world of hope and ongoing creation. I saw God as compassionate, loving, and unending. God is still speaking indeed. In point of fact, the creator of everything we see or know or will ever see is God. As the creator, God can also end creation. But why would God do that when even today new things are being created, new creatures are emerging, and new stars are being birthed in the cosmos? Author Michael Reagan writes that death in the physical world is merely a birth into new other dimensions of life. It all remains a mystery that cannot be fathomed by us or by those predicting the end. We must become comfortable with the many mysteries about God and creation that surround us. And it is good to do much of our exploring with each other, in community. As Christian Piet writes, we can enter into unknown spaces, exploring the mysteries together with all our reservations and doubts. But we do it together. He adds, we will never be able to claim to have completed life's complex puzzle. But rather, together we can come to terms with the incompleteness of it all. Now, in our scripture today, we hear God chastising Job and confronting him with his limited knowledge and wisdom. God speaks to Job of the morning and the dawn. This reference is the author of Job referring to a tradition in the ancient world that each new morning was considered a new beginning, a new creation. Each dawning was part of the continuing work of creation by God. God says in the book of Job, verse 14, that the dawn takes hold of the earth by its edges and shakes the wicked out of it. Scholars say that this is the light of the day containing and limiting, but not eliminating the wicked from the world. Now, scholars disagree about who wrote the book of Job and when it was written. Most agree, however, that it is very old. Some think it was written 10 centuries before the birth of Christ. The book is complex and raises a number of theological questions. On this first Sunday in the season of creation, perhaps we should be asking, what is the relationship between God, creation, and humans? In the section of Job that we read today, God is pretty clear about the relationship between creation and the divine. Who laid the cornerstone, God asks. But in this passage, God does not tell us why creation was formed. Creation isn't a scientific theory about how things started. No matter how much we understand the Big Bang, it will tell us absolutely nothing about creation. Biochemist Erwin Cardiff writes, "Science is wonderfully equipped to answer the question, how? But terribly confused when you ask, why?" And yet, science and faith are indelibly linked. Or as Einstein said, "Science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind." Reverend King Fabricius, a Reformed pastor in Britain, writes, "When Christians hear the word creation, the first thing that should come to our minds is grace. That is because creation in Christian teaching is an act of sheer divine generosity," he writes. "Out of nothing and only for love, God, the author, the maker of heaven and earth, creates a world." That God creates is not a law of nature, nor it is an inevitable occurrence. Rather, it is a completely free and loving decision, an act by God. God has created a rich, intricate, and growing universe that ultimately we will never be able to completely explore or explain. It was an act of divine generosity and self-giving, an overflow of goodness which seeks only to bless. If we believe that, then the appropriate response of faith is to acknowledge our absolute dependence on God, to live in gratitude to God, to spend our lives sharing God's lavish generosity and goodness, and to live out God's blessing by serving others. If we can do that, then we will be living out what it means to be created in the image of God. May it be so. Amen.